Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International and welcome to the weekly edition of the Household Express, a program dedicated to all your homemaking needs. Well, today is the 2nd of June, corresponding with the 26th of Shaban. And we're coming closer and closer to the blessed month of Ramadan. We're just a few days away. I am Sister Amara, and Antiquary Child Plan will be in your company up to 11 a.m. this morning. Assalamu alaikum, Antiquary Child. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we're all well with the best of health. And Allah Ta'ala make it easy for all of us that's looking forward to the month of Ramadan.
Inshallah, Ameen. And Greta, what can we look forward to in the cooking and recipe segment today?
Seeing that Ramadan is coming nearer and the days are very short and cold, so we're doing halims and soups for today.
Okay, what recipes can we look forward to?
We're doing a halim recipe. That's given by Zaida Mohammed. We make doing a butternut soup, a Thai soup, a easy alims, the wheat pig alim, and a kausai soup.
Okay, so you can look forward to the recipe and the cooking segment later on in the program. In the meantime, we're going to commence with an interview with Sister Zaida Mohammed, and our topic of discussion is fasting, sickness, weight loss, and brain foods. That is our topic of discussion. Assalamu alaikum, Zaida. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, yourself?
Alhamdulillah, Zaida. All ready for Ramadan?
Inshallah. Allah make it easy for everybody.
Ameen. Ameen. An ideal topic, Zaida, a few days left before the blessed month of Ramadan, fasting, sickness, weight loss, and brain foods. That's our topic of discussion. Zaida, how does fasting aid our health?
Fasting aids our health in many ways, but if we look at it from, okay, now we won't talk from the Islamic perspective on the other aspects of fasting, you'll speak from a health perspective, but we all should know that sickness in most cases is Mother Nature's way of showing you that you are filled with toxic waste and internal poisoning. Throughout the year, we're eating all the wrong foods and things like that. So fasting has a great connection with physical health for healing. By fasting, we are working with Mother Nature to help expel the waste and poisons that we have accumulated in the body. I've been doing some research on why we fast, but we don't have energy, and I found we're not doing it correctly. Firstly, we eat far too much, not too little, and we eat too much in between. Also, we are not consuming enough water to flush out the floating toxins released by fasting. When we are sick, what do? The person can't eat, the patient can't eat, and we say, okay, drink some flat cold drink, and let's make you some custard, and, you know, we go around eating all the unhealthy food. Because we say you need the energy. But if you look at nature, if you look at animals, every animal in the wilderness knows fasting, for it's the only method animals use to help overcome any physical trouble that befalls them. I was just listening now to the advert on the Quantu Game Reserve, and next door to me is the Kruger National Park. You know, we look at these animals whenever we traveled to the Kruger Park, and it's like, it's just so soothing and relaxing to see how they are in nature. Now, this is pure animal instinct. We humans have lived so long in the soft civilization that we have lost this natural instinct to fast when health problems occur in our bodies. We have become slaves to food.
Indeed, yes. Now, Zaida, is it natural for us to be sick or not?
It can be natural to be sick, because if you look at Hadith, we see like when a person gets sick, it's like a means of cleansing you from your sins. But today, sickness and disease is not natural or accidental, but it's caused in most cases by destructive habits. Sickness and disease cannot be eradicated until we bring in good habits. We live according to nature's laws and substitute for bad ones. Bad habits of thought may be a contributing cause to sickness and disease or impaired health. Then also, we don't exercise enough, lack of drinking enough pure water, lack of deep breathing of fresh air, lack of sunshine. We have plenty in South Africa, but how much time do we spend in the sun? Lack of sleep, faulty elimination, all often contribute to poor health. But above all, wrong food is a great outstanding cause. And few people realize this or refuse to change to healthier, cleaning eating.
And then again, Zaida, is it true what you say, that we are consuming processed foods, processed artificial spices in our foods, drink chemicals, sprayed coffee, use refined white sugar and flours? Everyone freezes are stocked with our flour savories for Ramadan. yes, we are destructing our health.
Remember, when we consume all our general foods, our inorganic foods, all these inorganic chemicals must be passed out of our body, or they can cause great damage to us. If the body is not functioning properly, then it can't force these inorganic chemicals through your eliminative system. They remain in the body and they can cause great health damage in the future. If we are to get these poisons out of our bodies, we need to keep fast. We fast by fasting, we're giving our bodies a physiological rest. And that's when we are rejuvenating our blood cells and strengthening our body, our immune system all over again. So the more toxins will be released in this way by keeping it clean, pure and healthy. And if we look at it, a cure for this is fasting. It's a great form of healing.
Mm-hmm. A bit of a tricky question, Zaira. Many do pick up weight in Ramadan. Why should that be so?
Good few reasons. What we all are doing in Ramadan and almost every day now, we're frying samosas, pies, bhajiyas, chips, moons, gulab jamuns, or something with omega-6 oils like sunflower, canola oils, the usual oils we cook or fry with. Once we ingest these type of oils, these inflammatory foods, they are transported to the lymphatic system and not to the blood, which means your fat tissues absorb all these harmful foods. Then we get MCT, which stands for medium chain triglycerides. They are a type of fatty acid that is derived from coconut oil. Now, when we have coconut oil, they are directly absorbed into the blood and boost your metabolism. Burn more calories and fat and reduce fat storage while curbing your appetite. So this fat is super fuel for your cells because it boosts fat burning and increases mental clarity. So for all the children going to school, all the learners, coconut oil is a brain food. Give your kids a teaspoon before school, before learning for HIFS and before you study. There's also a physician, a Dr. Michael Mosley. He has used the Sunnah fast of Monday and Thursday to formulate the intermittent fasting to lose weight. You can read up about how exactly it works, but it's 2 days a week. You only eat two meals. And what I found interesting was how the weight was lost on it. There is no iftar of savouries in this diet. It's a fasting of 2 days, of two meals a day, no iftar of savouries, no meal half an hour later, and there's no dessert few hours later. That is why many actually pick up weight in Ramadan, as we're eating far too much. If we look at how we are eating in Ramadan, we're having iftar, we're having supper, we're having something after Taraweeh, and then we're eating sehri. So we are actually eating four meals here. So this way of fasting that he has derived from the Sunnah is only two strictly meals, and we can have water and herbal teas in between.
And it will be like a normal day for us because our days are going to be so short in Ramadan.
It will be like a normal day.
Yes. Now, Zaira, what happens when we eat too much, and how does food, how does it affect us?
One of the greatest nutritional teachers in the world was a professor called Arnold Ehret, and he said that life is a tragedy of nutrition. There's a saying that man digs his grave with his knife and fork. Many people never give their stomachs a rest. They continually stuff and work digestive and eliminative functions with an overabundance of food. So this excessive burden means that the functions of your digestion and your elimination become so overworked and so exhausted that they simply collapse. The entire body then becomes enervated. So how many of us suffer from fatigue? And today most humans are slaves to food. They eat whether they're hungry or they're not. Their poor bodies are burdened by overeating and usually poor nutrition as well. No wonder we have so many physical wrecks.
Now, how would you define a healthy suhoor eating plan, Zaira?
Okay, I have formulated an eating plan. I will mention some options. You don't have to eat everything on it. Everyone has a different taste and different choices in their foods. The first one is sunnah, dates and water, or nabiz. Nabiz, I take 2 dates, chop it up, take 3/4 cup water, and I put it in a bowl. And to this, I add a teaspoon or a tablespoon of chia seeds, and I leave it covered, and I have this for sehri. This is from the sunnah, but not the chia seed part. You can also use raisins, but you do not mix the raisins or the dates. If you're using dates, just use dates. If you're using raisins, just use raisins and soak it in water. Then we go on to cereal. Avoid all store-bought, so-called healthy vitamin enriched box cereals like the Wheat Bix. You know, these are cereal killers when you understand the ingredients.
Okay.
We rather go with sorghum mozzarella. It's acceptable, but choose a health brand. You cook this in cold water. You keep stirring it until it boils. you top the porridge with omega and nutrient-rich seeds, berries, nuts. You can add a spoon, half a spoon kalonji oil, spoon coconut oil, olive oil, cinnamon powder, chia seeds, moringa powder, almond powder, chopped apple, chopped banana, raw honey to taste. You can put ground flax, pumpkin, sunflower, hemp seeds. You can add all of them. You can add some of them, just a little of everything. It makes the porridge a super powerful meal.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you want to eat eggs, you do not overboil or overcook your eggs. You just have it underdone. You can also cook onion, moringa leaves, fenugreek leaves, tomato slices, zucchini slices, red peppers, yellow peppers, and you can place your eggs over it. Cover it for a minute only, but allow the eggs to settle, but don't overcook it. You can even prepare your vegetables the day before. So in the morning, it's a bit easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, when we're cooking, we use Himalayan sea salt. It has 84 multi-minerals.
Okay.
And Auntie Khadija will be giving the gluten-free Haleem recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a date drink. At night, you soak 2 dates per person. You can put 2-3 walnuts, almonds, macadamias, goji, cranberries. I soak this at night, all this in water. And if you want, you can add a bone broth, a water in here. You can add olive oil, coconut oil. You can put raw milk or coconut milk in here, and you blend it in the morning.
Okay.
This is also super powerful food for the brain as well. Then many people like their banana fry.
Mm.
You fry your bananas. You can add some seeds, nuts, olive oil, coconut oil, and cinnamon powder on top of this.
Mm-hmm.
To make it more nutrient dense. Then you can have your curry and rice, leftover food. And also you can make healthy hot chocolate. It's also a brain food. Hot chocolate, you make it like this. You take raw cacao powder. This is from cacao beans, which are not sprayed. If you compare to the normal cocoa powder which we have, you can add honey to taste. You can put hot water. You can try it with homemade coconut or almond milk. Raw cacao benefits, they're rich in magnesium, zinc, other essential minerals, including calcium, iron, copper, potassium, and manganese. It can improve your heart health, cholesterol, stress levels, and inflammation, just to list a few physical advantages. We need to be aware of shakes with powders, powdered drinks with ingredients such as fructose, high fructose corn syrup, soya, carrageenan, wheat, corn, artificial sweeteners, to name just a few.
Mm.
And I mentioned the bone broth. You can drink this with salt added. You can have kimchi and avocados, which are also nourishing for body and brain food. I think we need to do a program one day on kimchi.
Oh, yes. You know, I always wondering what is kimchi, but I think you're going to laugh at me if I'm going to say this. Like, I thought kimchi maybe is another Gujarati word.
It's actually a Korean word, and it's a superfood of Korea.
Okay. Mm. Okay, so inshallah, maybe we can discuss kimchi on its own.
She will do the benefits inshallah one day.
Now, Zara, what would an iftar program look like?
Okay, iftar program, everybody is eyeing the samosas in their minds and the spring rolls and the bhajias and the fries. Okay, fried foods, gluten, flour foods, and foods containing too much sugar like the gulab jamuns and the desserts and malt shakes. The delight of many can cause health problems and should be limited or omitted during Ramadan. And not just for Ramadan, inshallah, make a new year now that we start going healthy. They cause indigestion, heartburn, sugar spikes, inflammation in the body, and they also give you weight problems.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, there's no need to consume excess foods as iftar, nor should our diet in Ramadan differ very much from our normal diet and should be as simple as possible. We go to sunnah to find out what was the main factor of breaking fast. Dates, 1 or 2 is sufficient. Have water, and instead of savories, have a vegetable bone broth drink. That is sufficient, and then you read your Maghrib Salaam.
Mm-hmm.
The supper can consist of whatever you wish to eat, still omitting unhealthy fries. Have a brown basmati rice, protein, and vegetable dish. You'll be asking me now, what savories can we have?
Yeah.
You know, I've got some gluten-free savories in the Savory Journey Express.
Mm-hmm.
I do make some ligands from the Half Past Eight has a gluten-free pie recipe. I used to make these things before, but I see the children just want to have food, and they satisfied these days. I suppose it's what they're having for the iftar, whether it's the bone broth or the gluten-free haleem or something, or the juice or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're quite satisfied, and so we don't really worry about savouries anymore. So
yes,
we drink sufficient water between iftar and sleep also to avoid dehydration and for detoxification of the digestive system. And after Tarawih, if you're hungry, if you wish to eat anything, you can go for fruit. You can have some herbal teas. You can have arad and ginger tea also, which Dr. Saleh always talks about. So we can just go easy on these things, inshallah.
Inshallah. Now, Zaida, I know it's exam fever now again. So what are some brain foods?
Okay, when it comes to brain foods, we go back to our foods, look at the foods. Avocados are one of the healthiest foods you can consume, and they are packed with monounsaturated fats, or the good kind of fat, which keeps your blood sugar levels steady and keeps your skin glowing. Then we have extra virgin olive oil in our diet. It may not only improve learning and memory, but also reverse the age and disease-related changes. Beetroot itself and its leaves have super good properties. Beetroot juice can help lower your pressure, and the natural nitrates in beets actually boost blood flow to the brain, helping with mental performance. Then we have blueberries. It's one of the highest antioxidant-rich foods known to man, including vitamin C and vitamin K and fiber. Because of the high levels of something called gallic acid, blueberries are especially good at protecting our brain from degeneration and stress. Then bone broth, again, is the ultimate food for healing your gut and in turn healing your brain. It has healing amino acids like proline and glycine. It keeps the immune system functioning properly and helps improve memory. Hair picks the iftar instead of savories. Broccoli has high levels of vitamin K and choline, which is also found in egg yolks and are known as brain foods, will help keep your memory sharp. And not all chocolate is created equal. In fact, dark chocolate can actually be good for you. But the rule of thumb is the darker the chocolate, the more health benefits it has. Carnosic acid is one of the main ingredients in rosemary. It helps to protect the brain from neurodegeneration. It does this by protecting the brain against chemical-free radicals, which are linked to neurodegeneration, Alzheimer's, stroke, and normal aging in the brain. It turns out that eating walnuts can keep you from going nuts. Just munching on a few walnuts a day can improve your cognitive health. So this is omega-3, as well as having fish and seeds. And I don't need to say abstain from sugar, caffeine, and junk foods. They cause inflammation, they lead to fatigue and anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Zaida, and almost time to wrap up your interview. Your closing remarks?
The physical health and brain health all go back to what we put into our systems. Eating less makes the brain sharper and benefits one's health. It is therefore worth reflecting on the true objective of fasting, one of which is to experience hunger. We eat healthy, avoid junk, and have a spiritually uplifting Ramadan, inshallah. May the holy month of Ramadan usher us all with peace, happiness, and forgiveness.
Ameen. And the same to you, Zaida. Yes. And Zaida, inshallah, we will be having you every Thursday in the month of Ramadan with a health segment, inshallah, discussing some lovely health topics for the month of Ramadan. And Ramadan Mubarak to you and to your family, Zaida.
Ameen. And same to all the listeners. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallah, Zaida. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Well, that was Sister Zaida Muhammad from Kamachipur sharing some very healthy information on what we actually discussed. There was fasting, sickness, weight loss, and also brain food.
Mm-hmm.
And now the children are writing exams in the month of Ramadan, so what they can actually consume.
Exactly.
And inshallah, we'll be putting that tips up on the website
on the
later
website,
on.
Please.
Yes, inshallah.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's go for a short break. When we come back, we're going to go into our recipe segment. We've got quite a bit of recipes to share with you today. We've got a gluten-free Halim recipe that's courtesy of Zaida Muhammad. Then we've got a butternut soup, Thai soup, easy Halim, and Kausar soup as well. So get your pens and papers ready to jot down these lovely recipes. Stay tuned. Come back now. We're going to go right into the recipe segment of the program. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 recipes to share with each other. So, the listeners actually have their pens and papers ready. We're going to commence with the gluten-free Halim recipe. And this is courtesy of Sister Zaida Muhammad, which we just spoke to her earlier on.
Okay, so for the gluten-free Halim recipe, it goes as this. Braise 2 onions in ghee with tej, lavang, and ilachi. Then you add your bones of choice and apple cider vinegar, and you boil for a while. Then you add 2 tablespoons of ginger garlic masala, green masala at your discretion, dana jiru, salt, arad, fine chilies. You boil until masalas are cooked well. Then you boil 1 cup each of green split peas, Masoor dal, that's your pink dal, and your mug dal. You can lessen the masoor and mug dal if you wish, or you can only use green split peas alone. You liquidize and lastly add it to your aleem pot. Cook for a while, thereafter can use bone broth instead of water to thin the aleem. You add your chopped greens and you enjoy.
Okay, we're going to repeat the gluten-free haleem recipe. You braise two onions in ghee with your tadj, your lavang, your ilachi. Then you add bones of choice and apple cider vinegar and boil a while.
Yes.
So well, you can add maybe mutton bones, even knuckles, even paya.
Your choice, it's your choice. Okay.
Then add 2 tablespoons ginger garlic, green masala at your discretion, dana jiru, salt, arad, fine chilies. Boil till masala is cooked well. Then you boil 1 cup each green split peas, masoor dal, that's your pink dal, and your mug dal. You can lessen the masoor and mug dal if you wish, or can only use the green split peas alone. You liquidize and lastly add to haleem pot. Cook for a while thereafter, and you can also use your bone broth instead of water to thin the haleem. Now, there is a recipe of the bone broth, which we did, I think we did it last year,
yeah,
with Sister Zaida. And there are lots of benefits of the bone broth as well.
Okay.
And so you can go onto our Islam website, and you will find the recipe for the bone broth as well. And then lastly, you just add your chopped greens.
Yeah.
It's a very healthy haleem.
It is.
No acid, no stomach burn, no burping, no wind, or nothing.
Nothing.
That is why it's called a gluten-free haleem recipe.
Okay.
Now we go to the next recipe, and the creature, my favorite butternut soup.
The butternut soup, ji. Okay, for the butternut soup, you need 1 small onion, chopped finely and braised in 2 tablespoons of ghee till it's lightly brown. Then you add 1 cup of chicken fillet with 1 teaspoon of ginger, 1 teaspoon of garlic, green chili paste, salt and pepper to taste, and 1/4 teaspoon of crushed nutmeg. Few strands of saffron steeped in 1 tablespoon of boiling water, and you braise all this. Then you add 1 packet of Knorr white onion soup mixed with 1 liter of cold water, allowed to simmer for about 10 minutes. You boil one large or two small butternuts cubed until soft, 2 potatoes, optional. Liquidize it with 2 cups of water and then you add it to your soup. Your soup should be slightly thicker than you like. Now you can store it away in the fridge once it gets cold. Before you serve, you add 1 cup of fresh cream. This thins the soup a bit and heat it up. In a small bowl, you mash about 3/4 feta. You know the feta rounds you get with a fork. You add a bunch of finely chopped onions and mix again with cayenne pepper, green masala, salt, and a tin of sweet corn, and a packet of vegetable soup and butternut puree. Boil till ready, add crumbled feta and chopped parsley. So this butternut got a bit of feta in it. But it tastes divine.
Is it?
Oh, it is really something.
It's like a rich soup, but very tasty.
Very rich soup.
Well, of a lengthy recipe. Lots
is
of ingredients to go
yes,
in there,
step
but
by step
enjoyable.
But, it is nice, Jane.
Okay, so we repeat the butternut soup. You require 1 small onion chopped finely. You braise it in 2 tablespoons ghee till it's light brown. Then you add 1 cup chopped chicken fillet, 1 teaspoon ginger garlic, 1 teaspoon of ginger and 1 teaspoon of garlic, green chili paste, salt and pepper to taste, and also 1/4 teaspoon crushed nutmeg, few strands saffron steeped in 1 tablespoon of boiling water. You braise all this above together, okay? Then you add 1 packet Knorr white onion soup, mix with 1 liter of cold water, allow to simmer for around 10 minutes. Then you boil 1 large or 2 small butternut cubed until soft. You can also boil 2 potatoes, it's only if you want. Liquidize with 2 cups water and add in. Now your soup should be slightly thicker than you like.
Yes.
And it does get thick.
It does definitely
really
get thick.
Yes.
Especially if you're going to put the potato in the butternut.
Butternut,
it gets
yes.
Nice and thick.
Okay. Now it is ready to store in the fridge once it's cold, obviously. Yeah. Now, before you serve your soup, you add 1 cup fresh cream. Now, the fresh cream thins the soup a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You heat it up.
Yes.
Then, in a small bowl, you mash 3/4 feta rounds with a fork. You add a bunch of finely chopped spring onions, and you mix again with cayenne pepper, green masala, salt. Add a tin of cream-style sweet corn and a packet of vegetable soup and butternut puree. Boil till ready, add crumbed feta and chopped parsley.
Yes.
And the butternut puree would be your above.
The above one,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. So that's fine. So the whole thing is basically step by step. If we just go through the method, how it is typed out, you will not go wrong.
No, you can't go wrong.
No.
You must just follow the recipe properly.
And it's very healthy as well.
It is very healthy.
And
it's
very
tasty.
It's a meal on its own.
Yes.
Okay. Now we go on to the next recipe. It's a Fai soup recipe.
Okay.
A different recipe at Karita.
Yes.
Did you ever try it out?
Oh, it's really divine.
Is it? Okay, lovely.
Okay. For the Thai soup, you need 1 onion slice and sauté, 1 cup chicken fillet, 2 teaspoons of crushed garlic, 1 teaspoon lemon pepper, 2 tablespoons of exotic Thai spice, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon green chilies, add 2 liters of water and you boil. Then in cold water you mix a packet of thick vegetable soup and a packet of white onion soup. You add it to the above. You cook till chicken is done. Then you add 1 tin coconut cream, 1 cup fresh cream, 1 cup of milk, 2 tablespoons of maizena, and you bring all this to boil. Just before you serve, add the following and bring to boil once more. That's your 2 carrots, you julienne strip it, 1/2 a green pepper, julienned, 1/2 a red pepper, julienned, 1/4 of the yellow pepper, julienned, 1/2 sliced onion, and your chopped green dana. And you add all this to the pot of soup. And it's really a tasty soup, but it's a rich soup.
Okay. So for the Fai soup, it's you will require these ingredients. 1 onion, you slice and you sauté it. Then 1 cup chicken fillet. 2 teaspoons crushed garlic. 1 teaspoon of lemon pepper. 2 tablespoons exotic Fai spice. So this would be your
Robinson's.
Okay. 1 teaspoon of salt. 1 teaspoon of green chilies. You add 2 liters of water and you boil. Then in cold water you mix 1 packet thick vegetable soup and 1 packet white onion soup. You add to above and you cook chicken till done.
Mm-hmm.
Then you add 1 tin coconut cream, 1 tin fresh cream, 1 cup milk, 2 teaspoons maizena, and you bring that to boil.
Right.
Now, just before serving, you add the following and you bring to boil once more. 2 carrots julienned, 1/2 green pepper julienned, 1/2 red pepper julienned, and 1/4 yellow pepper is also julienned, and 1/2 onion sliced,
mm-hmm.
and your chopped greens.
And then you just boil it all together till the vegetables are
cooked. It's a very easy one.
It is, but it's tasty because of the coconut milk and the fresh cream.
And the maizena.
It's a bit of a rich one also, but it's nice.
Okay, then we go to the easy Halim recipe.
Okay, for the easy Halim recipe, it's 1.5 cups of jungle oats, 6 wheat bix, 2.5 liters of water, and 2 teaspoons of salt. You boil together all this for about 20 to 30 minutes. You remove from stove and allow to cool, and you liquidize this. Then you take 1 cup of chicken fillet cubed with 3 tablespoons of ghee, 1 medium onion grated, 1.5 teaspoons of ginger garlic paste, 1.5 teaspoons of green chilies ground, 1/2 teaspoon arad, 1 teaspoon of salt, and 1 cup of water. You braise your onions in ghee. You add chicken and rest of spices. Add 1 cup of water and cook the chicken till it's tender. Then you add your liquidized whipping mixture. If required, add a cup more of water. You make a vagar with one tablespoon ghee, a half an onion sliced, 3 green whole chilies, a teaspoon of jeera. Lastly, you add your chopped up dhania.
Easy halim.
It's a very nice halim, actually.
And a healthy one.
Very
as
healthy.
Well. Okay. For the easy halim recipe, it's 1.5 cups jungle oats, 6 wheat bix, 2.5 liters water, 2 teaspoons salt. You boil together for 20 to 30 minutes. Remove from stove and allow to cool when you liquidize. Then you take 1 cup chicken fillet cubed, 3 tablespoons ghee, 1 medium onion grated, 1.5 teaspoons ginger garlic paste, 1.5 teaspoons ground green chilies, 1/2 teaspoon arad, 1 teaspoon of salt, and 1 cup water. Now you braise onions in ghee, add chicken and rest of spices, add 1 cup water and cook till chicken is tender. Then add liquidized wheat bix mixture. If required, you can add a cup or more of water. When you make your wagar of 1 tablespoon ghee, 1/2 onion sliced, 3 whole green chilies, 1 teaspoon of jeera, and lastly, a chopped up dhania. Mm. Very easy.
It is. Okay. Very tasty.
And the final recipe is the kausai.
Yeah. Okay, for the kausai soup, you saute your 1 onion finely chopped in olive oil and ghee. You add strips of chicken fillet, salt, arad, crushed red chilies, dhania jeera, lemon pepper, your ginger garlic masala, crushed garlic, and a bit of lemon juice. You cook chicken till almost done. You add a little bit of tomato paste and about 2 tablespoons of tomato puree. In a separate pot, you boil 1 tin of coconut milk, 250 ml of fresh cream, and a handful of coconut. Boil this till it's thick. You add it to your chicken. You garnish it with dhania and serve with crushed fried pearl, samosa pearl, which you season it with salt and chilies and your kachumar, your finely chopped peppers, cucumbers, tomatoes, red onion, carrot ribbons, green chili. You season all this with salt and pepper, olive oil, lemon juice, and a pinch of sugar. This is kausai, but this is really, really a bit of a different to the normal kausai, but it's tasty because of the, again, it's got fresh cream, it's got coconut, and it's got coconut milk in it.
Okay.
So it makes it nice and rich.
Okay. Let me repeat the recipe when I come talk more
okay.
about the kausai.
Okay.
Okay, the kausai recipe once again, it's you saute 1 onion finely chopped in olive oil and ghee. You add strips of chicken fillet, salt, arad, crushed red chilies, dhania, jeera, lemon pepper, ginger garlic masala, crushed garlic, and a sprig of lemon juice. You cook chicken till almost done, then add a little tomato paste and about 2 tablespoons of tomato puree. Then in a separate pot, you boil 1 tin coconut milk and 250 ml fresh cream and a handful of coconut. You boil till thick, then you add to chicken, you garnish with dhania, and you serve it with crushed fried samosa pearl, seasoned with salt and chilies and kachumar, finely chopped peppers, cucumber, tomatoes, red onion, carrot ribbons, green chilies, seasoned with salt, lemon pepper, olive oil, lemon juice, and a pinch of sugar. So, it's very tasty, but I think when you're making kausai, there's too many things that goes with it.
Exactly. Your pearl is separately, then you've got your kachumar, then you've got a little bit of green chilies cut up finely, then you've got a bit of spaghetti also boiled
yes.
separately. So then you just do as you want to, whatever you want to put in your kausai, you put it. and it's really something, really, it's a meal on its own.
It's nice for Ramadan.
Yes, it is very nice for Ramadan.
Okay. So all the recipes are on our Radio Islam website. You can go to www.radioislam.co.za. If you don't have access to internet, you can call Sister Faiza on 011-854-7022 and she will clearly assist you. Well, we've still got a good few minutes before we actually wrap up today's program. So we're going to go for a short break. When we come back, we're going to take in any of your cooking or your savory or your soup or your halim question and concerns. You can call in 011-854-1548. You can SMS or WhatsApp me on 082-565-8648. Stay tuned. Matullahi wa barakatuh and welcome back. Let's go to the lines and take our first caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Sister Mira, how are you, ma?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, sister?
Okay, it's Julie here.
See, how are you, Apa Julie?
Okay, man, listen, I need to ask Apa Khadija, man. You know, I made spring rolls and it's been cracking. Why?
Mm-hmm.
although I bake it or I fry, I have the same problem.
Is it? I suppose you're overfilling your spring rolls.
Maybe.
That's one of the reasons why. Or another thing is sometimes a little bit of water stays in.
Gee.
That's also a cause of it bursting open.
Okay.
Gee. So it's either one of them, it's either you're filling it a bit too much,
gee,
or else there's water left in your filling and this can also do the cracking.
Oh, okay.
Gee.
Okay, are they all cracked, sister?
Yeah, most of them, you know, was this Julie from Extension 9. Amara, you know what's happening? But all of them have been having the same problem. Even if the filling, okay, maybe the filling is a bit more,
yeah,
but I think the moist, if it's too moisty or whatever.
Maybe it is.
Maybe the moisture. Yeah, your moisture in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe I'm going to give you a tip on how to remedy it. Maybe you can try and dip it into your egg and your
crumbs and then
fry it. In that way, then nothing goes to waste.
Okay, good. So I'll listen to you.
Jazakallah, okay. Auntie Julie.
See you, ma.
Jazakallah, assalamu alaikum. Well, another really good tip there, Auntie Khadija, is, you know, your spring rolls also don't fill it up too much.
No, you mustn't fill it. That's when you have this problem of cracking.
Yeah.
And you see, if it's too moist also, there is a possibility that it can crack.
Okay, so now she could take the spring rolls
and dip it in egg and crumbs, and then inshallah by then, hopefully it won't crack.
Won't crack, okay. Then we've got a couple of questions. This one says, Salam, do you use fresh coconut for kausai soup?
No, you can use the dry coconut. It's fine. You can use the fresh one also. There's absolutely nothing wrong.
Okay. Then a sister is looking for a baked farki samosa recipe.
No, I don't have it. I don't know if it's on our website or not.
I'll have to go and check on there. I'll have to search one. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Then this one says, I'm looking for a water gas recipe, please.
Okay.
Water gas is easy. We did that. Oh, I wouldn't suggest gas in the month for Ramadan. But again, if you feel like having it, why not?
You won't believe it. In my house, we still have the gas.
Is it?
Yes, and the water gas is really nice. The gas recipe is 4 cups of water, a teaspoon, depending now on the gas, what kind of, sometimes the gas, 1.5 teaspoons of gas.
1.5, yes, correct, yes.
And about sugar, again, to sweeten, I normally use about 4 to 5 tablespoons of sugar.
4 to 5 tablespoons.
Yes.
Okay.
And you boil all this together, and then you just flavor your curds with whatever flavoring you want. And it come out really very nice and perfect.
Okay. Then this one says, Jazakallah for a lovely program always. Jazakallah, Sister Amin. For the spring roll cracking, make a thin lay with flour and water, dip and fry. Ramadan Mubarak to one and all. Jazakallah. And Jazakallah for the tip is also a very good tip.
Yes, because normally there is, you put, you know what, lots of people dip their moons also in this lay. And it really works wonders.
Yes, it does. There's foam in your in your oil as well.
Yes. And then even if you're putting, if you're dipping in your, with your egg, you must put a bit of, like a tablespoon or so of oil in your egg.
Yes.
And that also doesn't make the egg too, the oil too foamy.
Correct, yes. Okay. This one says, I want a bulk tomato puree recipe to freeze. Okay. Okay, maybe next week I'm going to be having a guest, okay? She's going to be doing on Cape Malay.
Okay.
She's from Dubai, so we're going to ask her that question.
Yes.
Okay? Then she says to use for mug and baked beans and kebab. Maybe she means like a tomato puree.
A tomato chutney.
A tomato chutney. Okay, what you can do is, sister, liquidate your tomatoes with tomato puree.
That is definitely the most important thing. And you know what? That freezes so nicely.
Very, very
nice. If you have a lot of tomatoes also, you can do it in this way. You just boil it and let all the water boil it, and then you freeze it and put it in ice cubes and freeze your tomatoes. It works wonders. Right?
Yes. Even, you know, now that it's winter, what you can do is... liquidate your tomatoes with tomato puree. It will stay in the fridge.
No, it doesn't.
It will not go off.
In a hurry.
Yeah, it will not go off in a hurry. Then, Auntie Gretchen, I want to give you some feedback on the roti flour, the atta one. I actually went and I bought a small packet. And the rotis come out so nice.
No, they do. The chakki atta. Somebody yesterday also phoned to ask me, what do they do with it? And I explained to them that this is what you do. And it really comes out nice.
Pretty nice. Your roti comes very, and like a brownish color roti.
It's not a pure white roti.
Okay. Before we continue, okay, Adigaracha, what are the ideal spices to use when making halims?
Halim normally is the, you know, you have to put your Dutch lavang ilachi to get all that smell out of the mutton, you know, a lot of these days, everybody gets that smell. That's very important. You must braise it nicely with your Dutch lavang ilachi, and then you use your normal spices, your green masala, red masala, again your choice of masala. You want to either make it red or green, and your dana jiru, your salt, your arad, and that's about it.
Okay, and I think that's when you're using mutton or you're using your knuckles even your paya,
you have to braise it very well.
And I think another
thing... And that onion and, you know, the spices.
Yes. Cider I gave is your apple cider vinegar.
Your apple cider vinegar, gee.
Yes. And your braising is very important.
No, that after effect taste is not nice. So you have to braise it nicely with the onion and the all your whole spices.
Okay. And how would you serve a soup or a halim?
Okay. Depending, again, it's everybody's individual choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can either have it with your naan. Normally, halim, they have it with naan. Or you can make croutons, or you can have it with breadsticks, or you can have freshly baked naan at home, or your buns, or your rolls, or what.
Garlic bread.
Yes, there is so many on the market.
With garlic butter.
Yeah.
So very nice.
Entirely up to you.
Especially with Ramadan being in winter this year.
Yes, everybody is really, really going to appreciate all the halims and the soups for this
year. It's very nourishing.
It is, gee.
Yes. Well, that's where we leave it for today. Inshallah, when we speak to you next week, it will be already the month of Ramadan.
Yeah.
So from us here, I wish you a lovely Ramadan. But I accept all your du'as.
Amen.
And we're going to have some lovely programs for Ramadan. In fact, in our segment, we're going to actually look forward to a lovely Household Express, a special Ramadan edition of the Household Express. And all our greatest lovely recipes.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Adigaracha, from your side?
Inshallah, I hope everybody have a very nice Ramadan, and please, please, please do remember us all in your du'as, and inshallah, hope to be back soon.
Inshallah. Well, that will be it for today from myself, Amara, and Adigaracha Ibrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.